Hey there, my name is Bethany Bravery, and I'm the host of the Bringing Her Hope podcast. But even more than that, I want you to know that you are welcome into this conversation, that there is a seat for you at this table. And I can't wait for you to meet each and every one of these amazing women who I know will inspire you to also live out the story that God is calling you to, and to give you hope that He will be faithful to redeem your story as well. We will laugh together for sure, and most definitely cry. But you know what? I get so excited about the thought that together we can grow deeper in love with Jesus, that we can jump with both feet into the adventure He has for us. So get ready. It's going to be a crazy, amazing ride. My guest this week on the Bringing Her Hope podcast is Jacqueline Malcolm Peck. After the loss of her mother, Jacqueline discovered journal entries written from her mom's journal all about facing death and learning how to live. Her mom's words gave Jacqueline the courage she needed to embrace all that life offers and to trust in God's unfailing love in the midst of dealing with loss. Hey friends, Bethany Bravery, welcome back to another episode of the Bringing Her Hope podcast. My new friend, Jacqueline Malcolm Peck, is on the show today. Thanks so much for joining us, Jacqueline.
Thanks for having me, Bethany. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I was born in Boulder, Colorado, homeschooled by my parents before that was a quarantine thing. So really just developed this amazing relationship with my family, and they always taught me to know who I am and know what I value. And I was able to kind of see my mom's story and see what she went through by all the time we spent together. And she just taught me about her relationship with Christ and how she fought for every day and just really believed in her faith, and that brought her so much joy and hope and really helped me become who I am. So that was kind of the core foundation of who I am, is how I was raised and my family. And I finished up school in New York and came back home and just really wanted to work on her book and her legacy. And kind of in the middle of that, we realized that she was feeling a little sick, and she ended up passing away in my sophomore year of college. So my main purpose of kind of finishing college and doing everything now became about sharing my mom's story and kind of weaving my story with hers. So I was able to pick up some of her words, and she had 6,000 pages of a manuscript. So it was lots to take on initially, but it was a great joy for me. And it was kind of the whole purpose of my sisters and I coming back together and having a reason to keep living. And in the middle of your questioning why and all these things going on, you have this little seed of grace. And this seed was her words and her writing. So it gave us this spirit of gratitude when we didn't feel like being grateful for anything. And so that kind of helped us climb back up this ladder of why we're here, and just gave us this new purpose to live. So yeah, a lot about me is based on my family and what I believe in.
I love that. So today she kind of gleamed on it a little bit. We're talking about leaning into Jesus after loss. And Jacqueline, I know that you have, God has just journeyed with you. He's been faithful with you to just redeem, in a sense, the story, or bring back the story that God has given you to write. But take us on your journey, what this looked like, you know, prior to losing your mom, what your walk with Jesus looked like, and those kinds of things. I'd love to lean in.
100%. Yeah. So growing up, I always had a sense of, you know, God loves me, and you hear all these things, but you never feel like your faith is truly your own. And that was something that people would question me, like, why do you believe in this? And why do you believe in that? And it frustrated me because I was like, well, I just believe it. And I just felt like that wasn't enough. And so it felt a little bit surface level. And so the gift that came with losing my mom was really pursuing God back. And God always is looking at you, telling you you're perfect. He's always with you. He never forsakes you. But the moment you look back at Him is the moment you have a relationship. And it's not just talking about it. It's not just for the community or because it makes me feel good. It's really because you're actively loving Him and you're wanting to do something out of loving Him. And I just straight up needed it. You know, I just really needed the comfort and the peace that came with a relationship with him. And so out of that loss, I am just so humbled and grateful that I'm able to have a relationship, because that's really kind of the whole purpose of life. And my mom taught me, like, if you can just have the relationship with God, everything's going to be okay, because you're not stressing about things that don't matter. And you're just not worried about that minutia that I think people typically worry about. And so you have this overall goal of what you're doing day in and day out, and you have this purpose behind being a good person, and a purpose behind your actions and your work and your goals and your talents. So it gives you this kind of supernatural energy and focus towards what you're aiming at, because you have a mission that is out of this world. Even though we have a purpose for being here every day, you know you're looking towards something greater.
Right, right. Well, talk me through what it looked like, you know, prior to her getting sick, who she was to you, and then what it looked like in finding out that she was sick, and what feelings, what emotions you were experiencing at that time.
Yeah, so she had 4 heart attacks when I was 3 years old in the span of 3 weeks.
Wow.
So it was kind of back to back to back. And the doctors kept reading the EKG wrong, because miraculously her heart would go back into place. So right after her heart attack, when they're doing the EKG, somehow they couldn't register she was having a heart attack. So she would like get sent back home. They were calling her a hypochondriac. And she was like, I'm in this excruciating pain. Like, I know something more is going on. And the 4th time she had this heart attack, they finally registered on the EKG. It was like the most massive heart attack the doctors have ever seen. So luckily she was like 5 minutes away from the hospital. She somehow drove the car off the road into the hospital. So all these just acts of God that were like, wow, I can't believe she lived past that moment. I can't believe I had a mom past 3 years old. And so we always knew like she had this amazing thing that she overcame, but we didn't know that she was still struggling every day with heart failure, because she was a superwoman to us. We thought, oh, that was in the past. You know, she's different now, she's healed. And so we just thought it was kind of all okay. But she had to have a pacemaker in, and 3 times it would go off. So that means she was struggling with cardiac arrest, and she could have been gone. So just these moments of just like, wow, I don't know when I'm going to lose my mom, but every single day she seems like she's so healthy and who she is. She never relied on any sort of drugs. She just relied on her faith. And yeah, went through 20 years of kind of this battle that we never really saw how much pain she was in. And she homeschooled us, and she was with us every day, and she would drive us 3 hours of basketball practice and wait 3 hours for our basketball practice, and then drive us 3 hours home. Like, this just commitment to being so fully who she was is just the legacy that she lived, and how she wanted us to be was, no matter what, just live how you want to live and how God is calling you to be, kind of no matter the sacrifices that you take. So it was true embodiment of love in action, and how to leave a legacy every day. Because no, you don't want to live with a fear of, hey, I might die tomorrow, but you have to actively be like, how am I growing today into the person I think God wants me to be?
Yeah.
Whether you just have like one person in your life, like if you just have like your dog, or you just have one sister or one friend, you can be that person in that one person's life. And that makes a remarkable effect. So we kind of saw her living every day, this superwoman, and that was really fueled by her faith.
Yeah. And so you saw her struggle really for 20 years. What did, I mean, was it evident during her final days that it was her final days? Was that a surprise?
Not at all. It was a big shock. Yeah, I was actually in Scotland studying at the University of Edinburgh on like a summer abroad. And it was my mom's idea. She was like, you would love this. There's castles. There's tall men. Like, it's perfect for you. And she always would come up with these cool ideas. So we were all away. My dad was away on a business trip in Chicago. My sisters were away. And so she just wanted to kind of, I think, looking back on it, go when it would be less painful for us, and for us to not see that. And yeah, looking back on it, it's like, okay, she said that, and you kind of replay things in your mind, but you would never expect it to happen that way. And she was doing great. She was kind of living her dream life. She had purchased a ranch and she was doing all this farm to table stuff, and she had her mm-hmm. greenhouse, and she had these draft horses. So she had all of this, all of these dreams come true that God was able to give her, I think, in her last years, to keep living so fully. And mm-hmm. that's really, we just remember her so vividly that way, just so happy and joyful. And mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was a big shock for sure.
Yeah.
But during that last month, she was able to show me what she was doing with her book. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why are you showing me this? Like, you've never showed me this. Ever. And it was I was so humbled and excited to kind of finally be a part of that world and see who through her eyes, because she was pretty private about that suffering before. And she was like, you know, I have these 6,000 pages of manuscript. What do I do with this? And kind of giving like my insight into what I think. And she was telling me what she was doing, working backwards through her different drafts mm-hmm. and trying to piece this story together, because it was 20 years of her writing.
Wow.
It was her way of processing things and her way of understanding and allowing God to speak through her. So it was her way of healing and kind of her way of letting God's voice come through. And that was really cool to kind of see that insight the month before she passed away. And then I came back home and I was like, this is what I need to be doing.
Wow.
And it took me almost 4 years to piece the book together. And my sisters helped also, which was great for us to come together. But that was kind of the timeline of not knowing how to process it, because you're feeling quite raw.
Yeah.
And you're like, you don't want to think about that stuff. You don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wanted to honor my mom as much as possible. So mm-hmm. it took quite a bit more time than I anticipated. But you have to give yourself grace. And that's what I felt like. God was like, it will be my time. And his timing is always perfect. No matter if, you know, I didn't feel like I was up for the job, and I was very underqualified and only a sophomore in college. I'm like, who am I to have her precious life in these words and try to do something with it? So he always tries to qualify the called, and, you know, it's not the other way around. So I'm grateful for his ability and his grace rather than my lack of ability.
Did you, when you were reading it, even before, like thinking, okay, this needs to go page one, page two, when you were just reading it, did you feel like you were getting to know another side of your
mom? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Completely. It was so cool. It was like, wow, I've gained a side of her in a way. Because who gets to have a book of someone that they've lost? It was remarkable. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, she struggled with this also. It was like she was walking through me. I could no longer ask questions about what I was struggling with, but it felt like her words were holding my hand at the same time. And she was so young at the time. And now I'm growing up and I totally relate to things that you never really do as a kid with your parents. And so it was this cool, it was just a new communication with her.
Yeah.
You know, even though I didn't have her to call, it was like, wow, I can go back to this chapter in this story when she's dealing with this and see how she handled it.
Yeah.
And I never saw that side of her. So exactly. It was so cool to kind of open up that conversation that I never knew what to ask her about that stuff. So, yeah.
I mentioned earlier that a lot of times we as teenagers think we have a relationship with God, but sometimes it's actually more through the filter of our parents' relationship. And you mentioned that through just reading her writing that she taught you what it looked like to have a personal relationship with Jesus. So how has that changed your life?
Oh my gosh. It's everything. It's everything I cling on to.
Mm-hmm.
And you have that foundation, but once you lean into it and you're actively practicing it, yes, it's God's grace above everything, but you still want to love him and do things out of that grace. So she gave me that foundation. But it's never just reliant on your parents' faith. Even if you have your parents don't have any faith. I think God speaks to everyone in his own time, in his own way, in ways they can understand. Yeah. And sometimes people's parents have this remarkable faith, yet they have none.
Yeah.
So it's just such a mystery the way that he works. And it's really cool to see everyone's story. So it's really helped me have an open mind with other people's religions and friends who believe or don't believe at all. Because I can be like, yes, my mom had this remarkable faith, but this is how it's my own now. And this is what I believe in. Yeah. And just, yeah, I would say like, it just helps when you know exactly why you believe what you believe, because that's how you can inspire people. And that's how you become that kind of Christian where people look at her and say, I want what you have. And that doesn't just come from a faith passed on. It becomes from taking that to a different level. Yeah. And knowing exactly why you are who you are, because you can lose everything. You can lose what you do. You can lose the people in your life, but you still have you, and you still have that relationship with God. Yeah. So I would just, yeah, it helps really knowing why you believe what you believe in. So I think she kind of gave me the baton and I ran with it, sort of thing.
I love the visual. That's like a beautiful visual. So this memoir that you wrote with your sisters is called Silence Voice Sings. I know that you wanted to get it out into the world so your mom's journey would be out there, but if you could say, this is who I wrote it for, as the reader who wants to grab that book, who did you write it for? Yes. Or who do you think you wrote it for? I mean, you guys.
Yeah. So it was, my mom always said it was for people who had yet to believe, or people who needed to believe again. And at times we have no faith, and at times we just need to have that new spark.
Yeah.
And sometimes people, you know, people are atheists or they have a great faith, but we always need to have this pursuit of something greater. And so I think her words speak to both audiences of people who don't believe and people who need to believe yet again. And that's kind of our mission with it. And especially right now with everything going on in our world, I would say personally, just for people who have lost someone and do not know what to do, don't know how to process their emotions, because you lose yourself sometimes in the process.
Yeah.
And you are clinging to nothing. And it's just a strand of hope that kind of the words give you, that no matter what happens in your life, you will be okay.
Yeah.
And that's really what helped me when I lost this whole foundation of my mom and every sense of self. And no matter what, you're going to find it again. And it's okay to be lost for years. I felt like I lost years of my life, but it's all for a purpose, and God will redeem it. No matter if you keep asking why, it's on his timeline. Yeah. And he's going to do it some way, but you're building that trust muscle. And I think that helps you in every area of your life, just to trust more. And you look back on situations, you're like, okay, I have a little bit more trust. Like, I can get through this next week. Yeah. And yeah, but it's okay to be lost for a long time, but you're going to find yourself back. So I think that really is the purpose of the book in my mom's eyes and through my eyes, just like giving that lost person a sense of trust that everything's going to work itself out.
Yeah. In the season of just losing your mom, did you feel like you could sense the Lord, you know, with his arms wrapped around you? Did you feel like he was pursuing you, or was it quiet for a while? I love both options, because I think that can happen. Yeah.
I think it was a couple of days after, and we all went to church as a family, and I just felt nothing. Like, I felt like, you're so in the dark.
Yeah.
And you just have to shut down. You don't want to feel anything. So you don't feel any pain. You don't feel any joy. And that was the first time I'm like, I feel completely empty. Like, and it terrified me. Yeah. So after that day, I had to like actively choose to try to feel something, no matter as excruciating as it was, because I know there would be a flip side to that feeling. So I really tried to choose to feel the loss, like choose to feel the pain. I didn't want to run away. I chose to stay home with my family. I chose to grieve because I knew that I would come back one day. And I was like, I need to feel this, no matter as horrible as this is. So it felt pretty dark for a couple of weeks. And then I was like, I'm going to try to feel what God wants me to feel right now. And I kind of opened myself up a little bit. And I just at times felt this tremendous joy that I had never felt in my life. I'm like, where's this coming from? This is so strange. And I never felt alone for probably 2-3 years. I never felt alone. Like how before, sometimes you feel like you're alone sometimes, but now it was like this presence that I couldn't explain. I was telling my friend this other day, I was like, I really never felt alone for a couple of years. And I don't, whether that was the Lord, whether that was my mom, you just felt like someone was protecting you. And that would have never happened if I didn't allow myself to just be shattered at moments and break down, and you're crying every day and you're like, I can't function as a person, but that it every day gets better in some aspect.
Yeah.
I think you have to, you know, lose it in a way.
Yeah. Well, I think it's such a good perspective because we're talking about how it really needs to be a relationship with Jesus. And if you think about in relationship, if we can be, broken, we can be lost, we can have questions. And the Lord's like, hey, come to me with all of that. You don't have to show up in a perfect way. You don't have to have all the answers. Like, come to me.
Completely.
He tells us in scripture that in our weakness, you know, he makes us stronger. And so I could just see how in those seasons, even though if they were the hardest, if you were stripped down and you were saying, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. And I don't know how to do with this emotion of entering in, inviting him into that. Like, oh, I want to take care of all of this, girl. I love that.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You just got to let him take care of it. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Oh, good. So I know, Jacqueline, people are going to want to buy your book. So how can they do that? What's the best way to do that?
Yeah. So a great way is to go on the website, asilentvoicesings.com. Okay. And then you can also follow us on Instagram, Silent Voice Sings as well. And then you can follow me personally, Jacqueline Malcolm Peck. And then I'll have different releases or different chapter experts that I put for free. So that's a good way to track us.
I love it. And you're also being super generous and you're going to do a book giveaway with us. So if you guys want to purchase her book, go do that. But also we're going to do a book giveaway. You can enter to win at bringingherhope.com. Jacqueline, just one more question that I kind of want to close out with that I try to ask most of our guests. If you could sit down and have a cup of coffee with your 15-year-old self after all that you've learned, what was just one piece of advice or one piece of encouragement that you would give to her?
Stop stressing about things that don't matter.
Good.
That would probably be it. Yes.
I love that. Friend, for your transparency and your vulnerability, go get her book. Remember, you can do so at the website. She'll be talking to you all about it on Instagram and all the ways. And if you are driving right now, or if you're watching the video and you can't click over, remember all the show notes, all the links will be there. So again, thank you for this time and this treasure of a book that you took the time to write with you and your sisters.
Thanks so much for your time. It was great talking with you.
Absolutely.
Ah, what an incredible episode with Jacqueline. Man, it's so hard when we walk through things, but I'm so grateful that God is in the details. He was in the details of using her mom's words to be an encouragement to her and her sisters. And now her mom's story is being told all over the world. Just an incredible testimony of how good God is in even hard situations. Don't forget to grab Jacqueline's book, Silent Voice Sings, at www.thesilentvoiceseries.com. And last but certainly not least, we are doing a book giveaway with Jacqueline's book, Silent Voice Sings. So head to bringingherhope.com to enter. Well, we can't wait to share another story of God's redemption next time, but until then, you keep living those brave stories for Jesus.
I wanted to take a moment to give a shout out to our sponsor of the Bringing Her Hope podcast, Friends of Hope. Friends of Hope is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to the support of Christian radio, Christian events, new media, and activities that share the good news of Jesus Christ. So thanks again, Friends of Hope, for sponsoring the Bringing Her Hope podcast so we can continue to share more brave and beautiful stories of God's redemption.